Sincere gratitude to all of the assembled devotees who have come this evening for the closing ceremony of the festival of Prabhupada's legacy, which lives on. I'd like to sincerely offer gratitude to our Shyam Sundar Prabhu. This festival was his conception, and he gave his life and soul to make this possible for all of us. My gratitude to the three temples of Bombay, who all participated very much wholeheartedly. Sri Radharas Bihari Temple, led by Bhima Prabhu, Brajahari Prabhu, Devaki Nandan Prabhu, Sura Prabhu, and all of the devotees there. And to Sri Radha Giridhari Temple, and to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Chopati, and all of the devotees who really gave their lives and souls. And to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who is one of the co-chairmen of this festival, to Bhavananda Prabhu, Gorshakti Prabhu, Shanakarta Prabhu, Kushavalaya Prabhu, and so many devotees who really, really put months of effort and dedication to express their love for Sri Guru and Krishna. I'd like to begin by reading a message from His Holiness Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj was here in the very earliest beginning of the Bombay project. How he dedicated his life and soul. He was the son of a multimillionaire. His parents came to India and saw how he was living in a rat, mosquito, and disease-infested swamp in Juhu. He was practically emaciated. His father offered him a fortune of millions and millions of dollars to just come home. You can practice your religion at home. But Giriraj Maharaj told his father that what I have here is the supreme wealth. I have service to my Guru and Krishna. There is no wealth in this world that could ever compare. Now, so many people could talk like that. But to live by that principle, samahatma sudurlabha, such great souls are very rare. Srila Prabhupada had complete faith in the pure heart and the simple devotion of Giriraj Maharaj. And he would sometimes say, Bombay means Giriraj. He gave his life. So much he wanted to be here with us tonight, but due to ill health, he was not able to physically be here. But his spirit, his heart, and tonight even his words will be with us. Please listen carefully as I read the message of His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. My dear friends and devotees, please accept my best wishes. All glories to Lord Krishna. I thank and congratulate all of you who have joined to make the Hare Krishna festival at Cross Maidan the great success that it has been. I am just sorry I could not be with you in person at this time. In late 1970, when Shyam Sundar Prabhu first presented the idea for the pandal at Cross Maidan, Srila Prabhupada was pleased, and he gave the example of shooting the rhinoceros. He said, "Everyone knows that it is impossible to shoot a rhinoceros. So if you try and fail, no one will blame you. And if you try and succeed, everyone will praise you. So if you are going to shoot, shoot for a rhinoceros." In other words, try for the pandal program, impossible as it may seem. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu organized the small group of devotees present in Bombay. I do not remember what all the devotees did, but Gurudas Prabhu was in charge of public relations. Yamuna Prabhu was in charge of the deities. Rishi Kumar Prabhu and I were asked to raise funds, and Shyam Sundar himself took charge of the publicity. Later, when it was time for the pandal itself, Tamal Krishna Goswami took charge of the physical construction and management of it, and Madhudvisa Prabhu took responsibility for the stage program. When Shyam Sundar Prabhu first got Srila Prabhupada's approval for the program, he tried to organize a group of life members to help. The first meeting was called at the Sea Palace Hotel near the Radio Club in Kolaba. The owner, Sri Ramchand Chabria, was an old friend who knew Srila Prabhupada and the devotees from London. At the appointed time, we waited and waited and waited, but other than Mr. Chabria, almost no one else came. We were disappointed, but Srila Prabhupada's encouragement we preserved, and eventually some other sympathetic friends, such as Sadaji Witthal, Kailash Seksheria, Kartikeya Mahadevya, and Ram Prakash Podar came forward to help. Of course, the rest is history. How the pandal program captured the hearts and minds of the people of Bombay. Srila Prabhupada himself wrote, "By the grace of their lordship, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, our recent festival at Cross Maidan Exhibition Ground has been counted a grand success. And quite noticeably, the spirit of bhakti has been actively revived in Bombay. My blessings go especially to all of you who have joined with us in service." After the success in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to arrange our first program of pandal there. In Calcutta, Tamal Krishna spoke very intimately to me about Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, and he mentioned that Shyam Sundar Prabhu was one of the biggest preachers in the movement. I was surprised, because I had hardly ever heard Shyam Sundar give a class or lecture. But Tamal Krishna explained, "Preaching does not just mean speaking about Krishna consciousness. Preaching means engaging people in Krishna consciousness. And through the Bombay Pandal and other innovative, dynamic programs, Shyam Sundar is proving that he is the biggest preacher." Years passed, and in 1971, years passed, and in 1977, I invited Srila Prabhupada to Bombay for one more pandal at Cross Maidan. We had already made the arrangements, and many prominent citizens had agreed to attend and address the audience. So I wrote to Srila Prabhupada. The interest shown by these important personalities suggests a very good opportunity for spreading Krishna consciousness in Bombay, in India, and throughout the world. The people in general have been absorbed in the election campaigns for their political leaders, forgetting the words of Prahlad Maharaj. Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mitopi Badyeti Grihavratanam Adanda Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punash Charvata Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 5th chapter, text 30. Nathe vidu swarat gathim vishnu durasaya ye bahirartha manina andaya thandar upaniya manas tepi shatantriyam purudam nibadha. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind man guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, material attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Naisham matishtavadudukramangrim sprishatyanartha pagamoyadartha mahiya sampadrajopishekam His kinshananam navrinita yavat. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material miseries. These unfortunate people do not know that the goal of life is to get out of this material world and serve Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world. And therefore they are mad after political leaders who are equally absorbed in material life. They do not realize that by following either this leader or that leader, they are simply chewing the chewed, repeating the same problems of life under this ism or that ism. Actually, the only leader who can solve their problems is Krishna, or Krishna's representative. The only hope for these unfortunate persons is to smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee such as your divine grace, that is, to submissively hear and follow your instructions. That was the letter that Giriraj Swami Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada, inviting him to Bombay. Although Srila Prabhupada had been ill in Mayapur, he kindly agreed to attend. And at that last program, Although physically he was so weak, he could hardly walk. Spiritually, he was as powerful as ever. And when he spoke, devotees felt as if Lord Narasimhadev, the ferocious half-man, half-lion incarnation of Krishna, had entered Srila Prabhupada and was exploding from within him. Of course, we all wondered how ISKCON would continue after Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada himself often warned us, "I am an old man. I can pass away at any time. But you boys and girls are young. You have come forward to help me. At least to some extent, you have understood this Krishna consciousness movement. Please take it more seriously. People are suffering for want of this consciousness. I shall go away, but you shall live. I shall request you all to keep pushing on this movement." But how, without Srila Prabhupada, one devotee commented, ISKCON without Prabhupada, it is hard to imagine. Now so many years have passed. The young boys and girls have aged. But Srila Prabhupada and his legacy, his followers and his ISKCON continue by his mercy to live and to grow, as so vividly exhibited at this event. And I know that His Divine Grace would be pleased to see this extraordinary festival at Cross Maidan, so wonderfully organized in the 108th year after His appearance, in the same place where He Himself so boldly preached 34 years ago. I feel especially enlivened by and grateful to His Grace Shyamasundar Prabhu, whose vision and enthusiasm has acted to manifest this amazing tribute to Srila Prabhupada, the world preacher of bhakti cult, and his message. The modern civilization is a failure. The only solution is Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, your eternal servant, Giriraj Swami. We will send the tape of this reading to Maharaj, so everyone let us express our deep love and separation from him by loudly chanting. Now, with your permission, it is my turn to say something. Srila Prabhupada's first major preaching program in his mission in the world to a very large crowd was here at Cross Maidan in March of 1971. And Srila Prabhupada's very last large public preaching program in his manifested Leela was here in Cross Maidan in 1977. For the devotees, this is a very intimate, emotional, and special event. It is truly a tribute to Prabhupada's life and the legacy that he has given all of us. How Srila Prabhupada was so very dear to Lord Krishna, and how Krishna miraculously fulfilled his dreams. I would like to just take one little drop from the ocean of stories of how Krishna was to fulfill Prabhupada's dream of showing compassion to others. Srila Prabhupada told us he was living in a very small, simple room in Sri Radha Damodar Temple in the 1950s. He had no funds. He had no followers. He had a vision. And his heart was overflowing with compassion, which is the natural quality of one who loves God. He wanted to take the supreme mercy of Vrindavan and Krishna's love to the whole world. It was the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya, and it was the order of his spiritual master. Sometimes he would take long walks, and he would walk through Ramanreti, which at that time was a very far distance from the village of Vrindavan. He was thinking, this would be the perfect place for an international temple to bring people from all over the world. And now we have the Krishna Balaram Temple, the most popular and visited temple of all the 5,000 temples in Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan at the age of 69. Actually, he didn't leave Vrindavan. Vrindavan was within his heart, and he wanted to share the spiritual world with people all over the world. This is an extraordinary story. Please hear attentively. He came to Bombay, and at Juhu Beach, he would go to Sumati Murarji, who he met at Kurukshetra previously. She was an owner of a fleet of cargo ships. Srila Prabhupada had nothing materially. He was going to her house to beg her for a free passage on a cargo ship to New York City. She said, Swamiji, impossible. No one will ever listen to this message in America. And you're so old. You will die. It is so cold. There's nothing for you to eat. And the people are so materialistic, and you are such a pure saint. How will they understand your words? But he was persistent. And he told us that on his way to his house, he saw a swampy area and was thinking, someday I want to build a temple right here and bring devotees from all over the world and make such a wonderful temple that people from all over Bombay will come. At that time, Juhu Beach, this was in the 1960s, it was a very, very distant place. It was Prabhupada's dream. And now Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple is the most beautiful, popular temple visited by tens and thousands of people practically daily. in the very place that he was thinking, this is the good space, he had nothing. Prabhupada went on Jaladuta. But before that, he went to visit his Guru Maharaj's samadhi in Sri Mayapur Dham. And he passed by a plot of land. And that plot of land is now the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, by far the most popular temple in all of Navadweep, which attracts millions of visitors. When he boarded the MV Jaladuta at the King George Dockyards in Calcutta, he had 40 rupees, which was equal to zero money, because who wanted rupees in those days? All he had was faith in the holy name of Krishna and the order of Guru and Krishna and a box of books. He had heart attacks, seasickness. He wrote in his diary how he was feeling such deep separation from Vrindavan, where he was living so comfortably in the place of Krishna's Ras Lila, Radha Damodar temple. When he was in New York, he struggled for about a year. No one was listening to him. Nobody from India wanted to help him. They all said, come back, Swamiji. It is impossible. But his love for Krishna was so deep. His compassion for people without Krishna caused him to cry in love for them. He was living from place to place in the Bowery, a very low-down ghetto, where criminals, drug addicts, alcoholics, and prostitutes, and many rats. But he dreamed that someday there would be a skyscraper in Manhattan Island. In 1976, Prabhupada had a beautiful skyscraper building on 55th Street in the heart of Manhattan as Radha Govinda's temple. And in that same year, there was a Rath Yatra celebration with three chariots of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. Thousands of devotees, hundreds and thousands of New Yorkers, as the whole Fifth Avenue, the most important street in the most important city in the material world. And Prabhupada was riding on the chariot with the deities. His dream was fulfilled. In 1971, at the Cross Maidan Festival, Prabhupada announced to all the people of Bombay that it appears he's going to get permission to begin the Hare Krishna movement in Moscow, Russia, which was at that time behind the Iron Curtain, under the communist regime. Such freedom of religion was illegal. Shamsundar Prabhu arranged the visa for Srila Prabhupada, and three of them went to Russia. Prabhupada was under constant surveillance of the KGB to make sure he didn't disturb any people's minds. All he was allowed to do officially was meet with some professors at a college. Well, one day Shyamasundara was looking for hours for some vegetables and fruits, and met two young boys and brought them to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada preached. One day they were on top of a building, looking down at the very gray skies and the very gray, drab, atheistic civilization of Moscow. And Prabhupada said to Shyamasundara with all conviction, someday there will be tens and thousands of people in this city chanting the holy names of Krishna. And today, there are tens and thousands of devotees in Russia. There's over 50 centers in Russia. And they're on verge of building one of the most beautiful temples in the whole world in downtown Moscow. Srila Prabhupada was taking a flight, and his airlines stopped in Fiji Island. Very small little island. I don't even know where it is. And he was just changing his flights in the waiting room for a half hour. And in that half hour, he met one young man and spoke to him about Krishna and said, you should start a temple in Fiji. And from that little seed, during Prabhupada's time, a beautiful temple, Krishna Kaliya, and now there are three major magnificent temples in Fiji. It wasn't due to material management. It wasn't due to backing of supporters. It was simply his love and compassion attracted Krishna. This is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyatvana niyashakya aham evam vidurajana gyatam drastam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parantapa. It is only by devotion, Arjuna, that I can be understood as I am. Undivided devotion. Krishna's bhakta vatsal. He is conquered by the love of his devotee. When Prabhupada wrote his prayers on Jaladuta, he revealed his heart. It was not planned that these prayers would be read by anyone in this world. It was simply his words to his beloved Lord Sri Krishna. After suffering heart attacks and seasicknesses and not knowing what America would unfold before him, he wrote that I have no power to speak to these people. I am very low and very simple. But Krishna, you are all merciful. If you give me the words, then only will they understand your message. I am just your puppet, Krishna. I am your puppet. Make me dance as you wish me to dance. And then he signed it, your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. One who has this humility and love conquers Krishna. Krishna claims that he becomes the puppet of his pure devotee, and his devotee is the puppet of Krishna. This is the exchange of ecstatic love. In 1971, Srila Prabhupada gave a class at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan in the auditorium. And after the class, where many very special dignitaries attended, he was standing at the steps waiting for his car. And he turned to Shamsundar while looking across the street. "This is such an important place. We should have a temple here." Besides Shamsundar, who never said a word to anyone about this, no one knew Prabhupada said that. But by Krishna's own arrangement, right in the very place that he cast his glance, saying those prophetic words, is Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. This is the power of spiritual love. Prabhupada lived, breathed as a sacrifice of compassion for all of us. He didn't just shoot for one rhinoceros. He was shooting for rhinoceroses every minute of every day. And Krishna made all of his efforts a glorious success. China was behind the bamboo curtain of communism. He sent to Mal Krishna Goswami, "On my behalf, you go to China." There is a saying in America: if you completely fail at everything you do, you say, "I should just go to China." Very common saying. So one day, Tamal Krishna Goswami said that to Prabhupada, "I should just go to China." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, Krishna is speaking through you. You go on my behalf." And today, there are thousands and thousands of devotees chanting Hare Krishna in China. Not just chanting Hare Krishna, but following the four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and living according to the culture of offering everything that we do in the service of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada's legacy lives. And in his legacy, Srila Prabhupada is personally with us. Through his words, through his books, through the remembrance of his life, and through his unlimited shower of blessings on anyone who's willing to open their hearts to receive. Srila Prabhupada was very special. He had such spiritual power. I remember one very, very famous yogi from India was speaking to Prabhupada. He had tens and thousands of followers. And he said to Swami, he said, "Prabhupada, how have you done it?" He said, "I came to America and I'm teaching some asanas and some pranayama and some massages and some music. But to actually teach them the real essence of the Vedas, to surrender to Krishna, to give up sinful activities, neither myself or practically anyone else ever dared to tell the Americans to do this. Who would listen? But you're telling it as it is. And tens and thousands of people are following. This is an amazing, incredible miracle." And Prabhupada looked at him with great compassion. And he said, "If you know that that is the truth, then why are you cheating them by telling them something else?" And I met that person years later. And he was not offended by Prabhupada. he really felt Prabhupada, like a father, was simply speaking to him the truth. Srila Prabhupada named this the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He never wanted to put himself in the center. He always wanted to put Radha Krishna in the center. At one time, due to the influence of so many Indian books, some of the devotees decided that Prabhupada's God. Prabhupada is Krishna. We should worship him as Krishna. All Prabhupada had to do was say, "Yes, you have understood." And he would have had millions of people worshiping him as God. What to speak if he just took away some of the moral principles he was teaching? Or he could have just said nothing. But Prabhupada was like a thunderbolt. He said, "The Guru is never God. Krishna is God. He is the original Supreme Guru. And every living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna." Prabhupada was very strong on that point. You can never become God. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashishtanendriyani prakriti stani karashati. Krishna tells in Gita, all living entities are my infinitesimal parts and parcels. They are in me and they are mine. But he never says, they are me. Jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. That our constitutional nature is we are eternal servants of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was so humble. One time somebody asked, "Are you a pure devotee?" And Prabhupada said, "My only qualification is I'm simply repeating the word of Krishna. And if you follow, you will become a pure devotee." All over the world, he inspired people to surrender their hearts to Sri Radha and Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we all know him and love him as the pure, unalloyed representative empowered by Krishna to spread that love in this world through the congregational chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious sect. It is the essence of all religions. To love God and to surrender our hearts in love. And that love is not something simply sentimental. It means living in harmony with the will of God. Even in this world, if you actually love someone, you're always thinking of that person, and at every moment you want to do something for that person. Love of God is the ultimate intoxicated experience. It is the fundamental need of every living being. Everyone wants to love and be loved. Anandamayo vyashat. We are by nature seeking pleasure. Why? Because the soul, the Atma within our heart is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of ecstasy. We must find ecstasy. But when we forget our eternal nature and identify ourselves with the temporary coverings of the subtle and gross bodies, the mind, intelligence, and ego, and the body and its senses, then we're trying to find that ecstatic pleasure of love through this mediums. But there's a problem, which is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Dukalayam ashashvatam. That this whole world is temporary, but the soul is eternal. How could the eternal soul find real satisfaction in anything that is foreign and temporary? But we are so bewildered, we have so deeply forgotten our true nature that this is our only reality. Yehi samsparashita bhoga dukha jonayevate adyantavanta konteya nate shunamate buddha. Krishna. And all the great saints and all the great religions throughout history give us this message that the pleasures between the senses, the mind, and the objects ultimately cause sorrow because of their temporary nature. But if we simply learn the art of redirecting our desire for pleasure in harmony with our true nature, by serving the Lord, by awakening love for the Lord, then only can we find real peace and real happiness. For materialistic people, they're envious when they see someone else succeeding better than themselves. Someone has more money, someone has more prestige, someone is more beautiful, someone is more athletically able. But for a devotee, they simply cry in pity for all of this. Without understanding the treasure within our own hearts, the treasure of real love, there could be no real happiness. Prabhupada, in the Bowery, was seeing people driving by in beautiful limousines living on Fifth Avenue or Park Avenue, and he was crying in sorrow how they're wasting their lives. And he wanted to give both the beggars in the streets and the tycoons in penthouses, he wanted to give them real food, real wealth, Krishna consciousness, eternal knowledge, and eternal love. That was his mission. I first met Srila Prabhupada in 1971 here at Cross Maidan. In a crowd of about 30,000 people, he called me on the stage to sit beside him. It was my first meeting with the Hare Krishna devotees or Srila Prabhupada. And it was here that he so mercifully took this fallen and lost soul and planted the seed of bhakti in my heart. And something else I'd like to tell you. At the end of the Cross Maidan program, Prabhupada took us on a procession where there was another program Pandal set up, and he took me there in the procession with all the devotees. First time I had ever been there. Prabhupada took me there. And it was Chopati. Chopati Beach, Prabhupada had Pandal. He took me there. I had no idea at that time I would become a devotee and I would be living in Chopati Beach trying to do some seva for him. Krishna was performing miracles through Prabhupada at every moment. And Prabhupada was performing miracles for Krishna at every moment. Srila Prabhupada very much stressed that Krishna consciousness is a change of heart. There is no need to change your occupation or to change the particular social status that you're living in society. Krishna consciousness is understanding how to utilize everything in harmony with our relation with Krishna. And he spoke very strongly to the people of Bombay this message. Whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or an industrialist or a businessman or a teacher or a student or an agriculturalist or a simple laborer, doesn't matter. There's no need to change your life in that way. Just add Krishna. Yat karosi yat ashnasi yat juhoshi tatasyat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushma darapanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, just do it as an offering of love to Krishna. That is the perfection of life. Prabhupada cited one associate of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was the avatar of Sri Krishna who appears in this Kali Yuga as the Yuga avatar. Radha and Krishna in one form to reveal the highest secrets of spiritual love. He had a devotee named Pratapa Rudra who was the king of Orissa. He had vast wealth, huge empire. He was willing to give it all up and be a beggar in order to be a devotee. But Lord Chaitanya and devotees said, no need. Remain king. But use your influence, use your power to awaken love of Krishna in your own heart and do the greatest welfare for others by sharing it. There was also a very simple man named Kolavecha Sridhar. He was so poor. He sold the leaves and the bark of bananas as a living. And whatever income he made, he would take half of it to worship Ganga Devi, knowing that Ganga Devi is a great devotee of Vishnu who comes to this world to purify others. When Lord Chaitanya was a little boy, Nimai, he used to go, and at that time, of course, he did not reveal his mission. He would go and argue about the price of bananas with Sridhar. Sometimes he would say, Sridhar, why do you worship Krishna? Look at you. Just look at you. Your clothes. There's so many holes. And there's more holes in your clothes than there is clothes. And Sridhar couldn't even afford needle and thread. He would just take the two ends of the holes and tie them into knots to keep his clothes together. And he said, and look at your body. You're emaciated thin due to lack of food. And look at your house. It's just a little straw hut. And the roof can't, one room, and the roof does not even contain the rain from pouring in. What is Krishna giving you? And Kolavecha Sridhar would smile, say, Krishna has given me everything. I'm not in need. My clothes are covering my body. My body's enough nourishment to live. and my house is quite fine. It is a fact. If you're not satisfied within your own heart, with yourself, with your soul, you cannot be satisfied even if you conquer the whole world. And if you're satisfied within your own heart with Krishna, then whether you're the king of the world or whether you're Kolabecha Sridhar, you'll be completely ecstatic in life. Krishna says in Gita, one who is illumined within, enlightened within, and rejoices within is a man of true, or a woman of true intelligence. Kolabecha Sridhar said, I don't need anything else. Years later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine opulences. And at the house of Srivas, during Mahaprakash, he manifested his form as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and called Sridhar. And said, Sridhar, look! And Sridhar looked up and Lord Chaitanya manifested his beautiful form of Krishna Balaram and the whole spiritual world. And he said, Sridhar, ask for a benediction, anything. Kolabecha Sridhar, all day and all night, he would be chanting Krishna's holy names. And he was tasting such sweetness in the holy name of Krishna. He said, my Lord, I have your name and I have your service. I want nothing else. Lord Chaitanya said, but I want to give you something else. I'll give you the wealth of Indra. I'll give you beautiful palace, wonderful wealth and influence in this world. Just take it. Sridhar said, I have no use for that. He said, then I will give you the 8 mystic cities, the perfections, where you could perform extraordinary miracles. You can just produce things with your hands by chanting mantras. You could travel in the rays of the sun. You could read people's minds. You could control people's lives. He said, I have no inclination to any mystic yogic cities. I will give you mukti, liberation. People strive and struggle for lifetimes for liberation. I will give you mukti today. Sridhar said, I have no interest in mukti. I'll give you elevation to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the association of the Lord. Sridhar said, my Lord, I do not require that. Lord Chaitanya said, please, ask for something. I want to give you something. For my sake, ask for something. Kolabecha Sridhar replied with great humility. He said, my Lord, if you want to give me something, then just give me this benediction. Let me always remember you and never forget you. Let that little form of Nimai who would come to steal my bananas always be in my heart. If you want to give me a benediction, grant me this, that I will eternally be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. That is wealth. That consciousness. It is eternal. And it is the only real satisfaction of the soul. So yes, whoever we are, whatever we may be doing in this world and society, Prabhupada very much called upon the simple people and the very influential people of the world to make their lives perfect and help make other lives perfect. Para upakar, real welfare, is to enlighten people's souls. Cheto darpana marachanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Lord Chaitanya taught that the mind is like a mirror. When you look into the mirror, you're supposed to see yourself. But when the mind is covered, when the mirror is covered with dust, layers and layers and layers, all you see is that dust. That dust of so many misconceptions, so many attachments, so many passions to be the enjoyer of this world, selfish desires, has caused us to completely forget who we are. Who is God? And what is the purpose of life? But in the age of Kali, there is a great benediction. In fact, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that the great sages and rishis worship Kali Yuga as the best time in all history. Why? Kaler dosanide rajan asti heka mahanguna kirtanar eva krishnasya mukta sangha param prajet. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So much corruption. So much distrust, so much sinful activity, intoxication. Nunam brahmata kuru te vikarma. People are mad after their selfish, egoistic will. But there's one benediction, that by chanting the holy names, we can clean the mirror of our heart and awaken our original natural consciousness. Where we can see Krishna within our hearts, who is the ultimate reservoir of all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all wealth, all fame, and all renunciation. Krishna means all attractive. What everyone is searching for in all of our endeavors is Krishna. But we're just looking in the wrong places. But Krishna is within our own hearts. All we have to do is just clean our hearts. Bring our consciousness to its natural, original state. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is the original, natural consciousness of every living being. And it's the greatest need in the world. What greater need is there in this world than love, trust, and compassion? Everything else will work wonderfully if that is there. But when there's egoism and envy and greed and pride and lust, the whole civilization decays, degrades, and there's no peace within or without. Just clean the heart and find that oceanic love for Krishna. Krishna's effulgence is the all-pervading impersonal Brahman. But the original source, Bhagavan, is all beautiful. And he's inviting us to enter into his eternal pastimes, Leela. It is our nature. Clean your heart by the association of devotees. Clean your heart by living pure, exemplary lives. Clean your heart by hearing the great message and philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And our Guru Maharaj has presented it in such a beautiful way that the Bhagavad Gita as it is by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is the largest selling Bhagavad Gita in the history of the world. And it has transformed millions of people's hearts. And especially, clean your heart by taking very seriously the greatest benediction of the whole world. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. That Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the all-beautiful, all-merciful Lord, has descended, incarnated within His name. Nam Namakari Bahuta Nija Sarva Shaktis. That all the opulences of God are within His name. Prabhupada's message was very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And make others happy. Real happiness is to make others happy. That is why the Yuga Dharma, the recommended process in this age, is the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. In the closing of this wonderful Cross Vedan festival, we have tried to repeat some of the words of our beloved Guru Maharaj. Let us offer our sincerest gratitude. He took the essence of spirituality and Indian culture and spread it all over the world. And as he did in 1971, today he is inviting all of you to be a part of this mission of love and compassion. Krishna doesn't see whether we're big or little. He just sees the honesty, the humility, and the sincerity of our hearts. Prabhupada said, Krishna doesn't see what you do. He sees the purpose in which you do it. That is bhakti. Integrity. There is a dire need in the world today for people who exemplify the qualities of purity, integrity, compassion, and love. If you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. Prabhupada said to the people of Bombay, I am one Indian who just took this message seriously, and I have done this. All of you can do this. Take this opportunity seriously. Human life is so precious, it is so rare. In closing this Cross Maidan festival, we appeal to everyone, please, make your priorities in life in such a way that you live in the light of truth. We have family responsibilities, we have occupational responsibilities, we have social responsibilities. But please do not forget that we all have very serious spiritual responsibilities. And it's not just to be fulfilled by a little puja every Sunday. Our spiritual responsibilities should be dynamically lived at every moment of our lives and integrate those responsibilities with everything else we do. And it becomes easy and joyful in the association of devotees. So please, on behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and all the great acharyas of Indian spiritualism, we appeal to all of you, take this Krishna consciousness very, very seriously in your life. There's nothing more important for you, for your families, and for the world. And chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Krishna tells in Sri Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. That even if you offer me a little fruit, water, leaf, or flower, if it is offered with love, devotion, I will accept it. So today we are going to shower Sri Sri Radha Krishna with the flowers of our devotion. It is called Pushpa Abhishek. It's a beautiful ceremony. And the meditation should be second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very important verse. If you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. If you go to water every leaf, every flower, every twig of the tree will never be satisfied if you neglect the root. Krishna says in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. From me everything emanates. Krishna is the root cause of all. Sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes. Our real happiness is not in satisfying our mental, egoistic, sensual desires. Our real happiness to the self, to the soul, is in satisfying God. That is the universal principle of religion. And that is what will spread real peace, real love, and real happiness in the world today. So for the pleasure of Sri Radha Krishna, we will chant the holy names with great sincerity. Don't just chant like a religious ritual. We should be chanting from our hearts, expressing our will to please the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. Our desire to become pure. Prabhupada said we should chant the names of the Lord like a baby that cries for its mother when it's a dangerous position. We should cry out the holy name of the Lord with all sincerity. So we will be chanting for the pleasure of the Lord as the Lord is showered by the flowers of our ambitions to serve Him and love Him. This is what Pushyabhishek represents. And in seeing Krishna's happiness, we become intoxicated with happiness. Some ill-informed, unfortunate people try to find intoxication by alcohol and drugs and power. But that just pollutes the mind. Yesterday, we heard from Alfred Brush Ford, the great-grandson of Henry Ford. And he said something that very much struck our hearts. He said, all over the world, and especially in India, the land of Dharma, people are thinking that if I become wealthy and famous, I will be happy. But he said, I've been down that road all the way to the very end, and I tell you, there's nothing there. But when I met Srila Prabhupada, I understood what is real wealth and what is worth living for. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I thank you very much.